There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast
on the left.
Right from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
I just thought maybe it's just how deep the inside of my head is.
Yes.
Oh, Ben, push me down. Thank you for being my dog nanny, but now you can be my pussy nanny.
Is that how we're going to start the show? I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. That's Marcus Parks. I'm Ben Kissel. And then we got this fellow over here.
My name's Karma, and I'm Ben's boss. And I love it when Ben's late to work, because then that means he's no longer my employee, because I fire him for a couple of minutes, and then he becomes my clandestine lover.
What is wrong with you?
Oh,
this is disgusting. She's a wonderful woman.
Let the puppet come over here. I want to smell its pee. And then I want you to push,
Henry,
push
all right.
It inside of me.
That's enough.
They don't listen, right?
No.
They can't possibly listen to this and still have you
no
on
one's
the
listening.
Dole, right?
You
they
know.
Can't
well,
know you fondle the dogs all day.
I don't fondle the dogs.
I've watched you with the dogs.
I cuddle the dog.
You grab all the dog and you hold it up.
They're
next
1 pound each.
I'm just saying you are. It's scary how much you control the actions of the dogs physically.
They're
around
very,
you.
They're very small dogs. There's no way around not. You have to control them.
You sound like a Larry King.
Oh, take it easy. Good Lord. Larry King, the pedophile, or Larry King, the talk show
host? I'm never talking about Larry King, the talk show host.
Oh, okay. From now on, every time we mention Larry King, it's about...
No, I'll say old Jew suspendies.
Ah, Larry King.
Yes.
I see. All right. So today we're going to talk about remote viewing and some other very,
you
very
sound
fun
excited.
Things.
And
I am
glad
excited.
That you're excited.
I'm excited. Koppel was talking about it on Nightline. So.
Todd Koppel.
This is a
remote
big time event.
I certainly hope that no one uses remote viewing to look inside my underwear drawer.
What's in there, Ted?
Just tube underwear. The type of underwear you can just stick your balls through, huh?
I like
it. Ted Koppel.
Remote viewing.
I was pretty good. I'm pretty good at Ted Koppel.
I guess so. I mean, we don't have any. Yeah, that's not a terrible.
I'm
Ted
no
Koppel.
Richard Little.
Yeah, well, yeah, Richard Little was very good, very talented young gentleman. That's for sure. All right, Marcus, explain what this is.
So we're also going to be talking about astral projection, but that's going to be later on in the show. But we're going to start with remote viewing. Now, remote viewing is the ability to see distant or hidden objects, events, and location beyond the range of the physical eye.
How I felt until after seeing Under the Skin last night and seeing ScarJo's bush.
Oh, they showed her bush, huh?
It's the best.
It's really
her
good.
Bush is the best? How is a bush the best? Bushes are all the same. How can one bush be better than another bush?
No, they're not. Some of them are coarse. Some are fluffy.
She's got a top niner.
A top
she's in
niner
the top
bush?
Nine. Yeah.
What prompted her to show her bush?
She's an alien.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
No inhibitions.
No inhibitions whatsoever. She doesn't even know she has a body.
Oh, I see.
That's my favorite way to meet a lady. A girl who doesn't even know she has a body.
There's a surprising amount of nudity in those alien movies. That species movie, I used to jack off to that all the time.
Love me some
Natasha Henstridge.
Yeah. All right. So remote viewing, I did this.
Yeah. That's Under the Skin, also a very good movie.
Highly
recommended. Go check it out. So, for example, a remote viewer might be asked to A, describe a location on the other side of the world that he or she has never visited.
You can't do that with just a postcard, right?
You could.
You can, technically, still, it's better to do it with your brain telescope.
B, describe an event that happened long ago. C, describe an object sealed in a container or locked room.
All right.
Or D, describe a person or activity all without being told anything about the target, not even a name or a designation.
Well, see, what I found doing some of the YouTube research.
This people, is your problem. Is that first you say YouTube research.
YouTube research.
And I also take some umbrage with you calling it research.
Umbrage. All right, let's not get too technical over here, Mr. Umbrage. Heller. All right.
Stop with that.
I'm doing the Heller. I'm doing it.
That's fine.
I'm doing it.
It's like Jack is Mia.
Yeah. They just tend to draw a lot of pillars. They draw a lot of pillars and they draw a lot of walls. Well, and then it turns out that there was walls involved.
We will get into the methodology of like how one remote views, but it's actually very interesting because there's a lot of different theories as to why it even works. There's sort of a floofy do idea, like, you know, the term, you know, when you have tuning forks, the way they describe the universe is like if we live in a multiverse, right? If we live in the idea that there's no such thing as time and we're all that, like, all information is present at once and all options are available at once, all future options, all past options, they're all just floating around in a goop, right? Our brains are like giant antennas, which is true. Like, and they can both receive and send down signals. And the way they say remote viewing works technically is this thing called the term I wrote down here. It's hold on one second. Damn it. It's like synergistic. Oh,
first you definitely have to put on some weight.
Synergistic and then, quantum entanglement, which is this idea.
How come you couldn't remember that?
Henry? I don't know.
Synergistic quantum entanglement.
Because I was also, I was high. All right, yeah. I could not remember the term. All right, so I had to write it down.
Yeah.
So the idea is that...
Honey, like, we are not getting married. We are becoming synergistically entanglemented together.
But the idea is that, like, a tuning fork, if you have two tuning forks at the same pitch and you hit one at the one end of the room, on the other end of the room, the tuning fork will also vibrate. And the idea is that your brain can kind of stick its head into what they call lines of thought, and basically you pick it up. And so you can be in two places at once.
And you can shake a fork around.
You can shake a fucking fork around.
Well, isn't that exciting?
All right. And then there's also an idea that we're all one gigantic galactic entity, which is also an official, like, reason why it works.
Yeah.
And also that, you know, ghosts are gossipers.
I've heard that. Yeah. Gossip ghost.
So the term remote viewing was coined in 1970 by American physicist Russell Targ.
That's
and
right.
Harold Puthoff.
This is why these guys become scientists. All right. You can't be a movie star with the name Russell Targ.
And there's Russell Targ on the red carpet with Audrey Hepburn.
God, he appears to be wearing pig skin, and he's wearing
bring me Christina Hendricks. Oh, I will make wine sacks from her breasts.
Yes. Not your typical Hollywood leading man, but ladies
love him.
So these guys, they researched remote viewing for 10 years. They used such tools as the magnetometer and the cork detector.
Well, again, beginning tools.
Yes.
This is the very beginning. What are you going to do? We used to think that people ran because they had jumping spirits in their knees.
Yeah, I've heard that.
It took a long time for us to figure out that it's just muscles.
Yep, muscles, bones, tissues, things like that.
Harold Puthoff, by the way, I will say OT.
Say that again. What is his name?
Harold Puthoff.
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 Sounds like something you tell someone you want to get away from. Puthoff.
Like you're the big-faced man from Under the Skin, and you're being very weird with people around you. Do you just want to go to the grocery store and not get your fingers sucked by Scarlett Johansson?
I'm out of the loop on this Under the Skin. Good Lord. This seems like a saucy movie, though.
It's extremely saucy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right.
So Harold Puthoff, by the way, he was an OT7 Scientologist.
See, this is my problem with him.
Yeah, this is
but
a big problem.
But they went through this is the time, like, because when was this? Like early, mid-1960s?
This was 70s, yeah.
Like, they have this thing called parapsychology, which was the very beginnings of, like, paranormal research, and there was a lot of stuff like that going on with Scientology, with the stress reading, and all the different people taking infrared photography of each other, and so it was kind of a revamp of what happened in, like, the 1890s. With the spiritualistic movement.
Of course. He actually, Puthoff, he cites Madame Blavatsky and her
Everybody
followers.
Does.
Everyone's, Madame Blavatsky, she was the biggest spiritualist of the time. Hitler was her biggest
fan.
Yeah,
because she didn't believe we were waiting on the Seventh Race to come save us, and the Seventh Race was beautifully white.
Oh,
and they were coming
nice.
From space, and so, yes, it's always that. It's always that!
Space white. That's what
it's
the white
really,
student
gets. Madame Blavatsky is so interesting, because you read it, and then eventually, just like, oh, she just hates brown people.
Yeah, that happens a lot. But this was, I mean, this is the glory days of Scientology. This is the fun 70s. Scientology.
Oh, yeah, man.
This they were just having a good time.
People weren't wearing shirts. Yeah. Everybody was talking about how stressed they are. It was different back then.
It was different.
San Fernando.
Yes. San Fernando.
Well, gems. That's all. All I can think about is gems.
Yeah. Well, I think there was a lot of gems around. A lot of hot, naked ladies.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, indeed.
So Puthoff, he thought that Madame Blavatsky and her followers were able to actually remote view the inner structure of atoms.
Cool.
Which goes into the theory that all is one. We are all one giant membrane. So it does follow that you could go small enough to see tiny, tiny little things in the atoms.
Like in the Magic School Bus.
Or in inner space. Wonderful. I love Martin Short movie.
Yeah, great, great Martin Short movie. Now, I'll tell you, they show his bush. Yeah. Love that in Inner Space, but they show Martin Short is one of the best bushes I've ever seen.
Nothing is higher on my bucket list than seeing the curly browns of Martin Short.
As a matter, I might just remote view that right now. Long, hairy, Martin Short, bush.
You know what I've been watching a lot of is that Jiminy Glick.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's very funny.
Yes.
Let's continue.
So other research was done by a group called the Princeton Engineering Anomalies Research Group, or PAIR.
Now, let's just imagine
I mean,
what the body types are of the people that have joined up this society. They are, you know, maybe a little bottom heavy. Perhaps. And they all had a secret little giggle. It was like, oh, this is my microscope stool.
And I'll tell you, they can't keep their glasses from breaking. Isn't that the thing with these kinds of people? Always tape on the glasses.
My glasses.
My glasses.
Let's not make fun of these people. These people are very important to the paranormal studies world.
They're very smart people.
Well, that was founded in 1979, and they applied modern engineering science techniques to the study of psi.
Look, it's a wheel. This is a pulley.
Very cool.
They concluded that it is possible to obtain information by means that cannot be explained by known psychic phenomena. And others have also found that remote viewing is affected by geomagnetic activity. So the higher the geomagnetic activity before the viewing test, the less successful the results.
Very interesting. They say the same thing what happens with it, all around the country of these random number generators going on that also seem to sync up during gigantic either natural disasters or political like terrorist acts, like weird like gigantic catastrophes. These random number machines seem to also kind of jam at the same time, which causes that they're, you know, they use a lot of random number generators for for remote viewing to see if you can manipulate the numbers.
Change the numbers. That was another thing that I learned. A lot of people just trying to get into this game for the lottery win.
Yeah, of course they do.
A lot
Why
of people.
Wouldn't they? But the way they do it's really interesting. I was reading what they do with that is that because it doesn't really work with numbers. Well, we'll find out when we get deeper into this that involves this concept of gestalt, which is the idea of a feeling of a moment. That's how you jump into the remote. Like, but you basically you get a coordinate and then you have to imagine how the moment feels, how the area feels to you emotionally and physically. And so what they do for the stock market in order to manipulate it or guess when things were going to rise and fall is that they take pictures and they memorize the pictures and they associate them with certain stock market accounts. And then what they do is basically using the imagery of the picture, when the picture pops up, they know when the stock's going to raise or lower by attaching it to certain numbers.
Well, I don't even know how we had a financial collapse with solid science like that. You would think we would still be living in the 80s, the roaring 1980s.
Well, another one of the big researchers that came on the scene this time that became one of the biggest practicing remote viewers was a man named Ingo Swann.
I love this man. Now, do we know that that's his real name?
His I hope name he made
is
it a, up.
Do like, we know that any of these names are these people's real names?
Russell
this-
Targ is a name that was unfortunately given to a man.
Targ. Honey, you got yourself a Targ baby. What'd right, you so- say about my baby? No, his last name is Targ.
Hey, this is Ragunga Targ, and this is my husband, Boik Targ.
Boik Targ was a nice guy, though. One of the best grocery baggers. You
Honey, don't
see.
Forget the Targs are coming over for dinner tonight.
Oh, my God. Oh, you didn't even tell me to buy the slop when I went to the supermarket.
Let me go put the plastic sheeting on the new recliner.
So, Henry, you know quite a bit about Ingo Targ. Ingo Swan.
Don't get it mixed up.
Ingo
Swan was the guy who basically helped develop what we now officially know as remote viewing. He helped train members of the CIA and our military. But this is what I know about him. And where he started from was in the 1950s. He was a born clairvoyant. He says he was. And also, like, if you watch any interviews with him, I'll put him up on the Facebook page. It's incredible that he got anywhere near the army. He is like the fancy. He looks like a Broadway choreographer. And he's like, oh, you boys, they're messes. Like, literally, like, he was doing this. He showed up with a microphone. And he's like, you mean you didn't have a microphone set up for me before? Why didn't you do it before, Andrea? You know, like, but he's very sweet. He's very cool.
Yeah, seems like a nice guy.
But they were talking about how, like, where he kind of started was that he grew up in the 1960s. He joined this pataphysical group in New York City.
Pataphysical,
which is the original version of like the paranormal studies movement. That was when it was all stuff like the beginnings of Scientology. It was all gems and people like strapping I don't know what to their heads, you know, strapping aluminum foil their heads, going like, I can see colors on my feet.
I mean,
they're like, what are you even talking about, Richard? And he's like, I left Leslie to come to New York. I've got to find something to do.
I mean, Scientology was just a nice way for nerds to get laid.
It was a great way for nerds to get laid. Yeah, I like it so much better than the fucking comic book movement. New nerdist, like Chris Hardwick wearing suits and that's cool to be nerd now. It was better before when everyone had long bushes.
That's right.
But Ingo Swann basically discovered he could do remote viewing on his own. And I forget how it actually ended up working him towards working to the CIA. It seemed like he said it just kind of randomly happened.
Yeah. Well, he was doing research and out-of-body experiences for the American Society of Physical Research in the 60s
and
70s.
This is one of those weird, like, super liberal 60s college organizations because it was like the college boom, too.
Yeah.
So all this money was coming in from the government to use these, like, college research facilities, kind of like how Ghostbusters starts.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a lot about how, like, I mean, a lot of this stuff is pretty similar to Ghostbusters.
And that was pretty great.
Yeah, Russell Targ has very similar hair to Mr. Ramis as well. It's out there.
Yeah,
Leave me alone.
I mean, none of these names are any more ridiculous than Egon Spangler.
No,
exactly. That's why the Ghostbusters nailed it.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
And there was also other things going on at this time, like the human movement.
Yes.
What was that movement all about?
It's exactly
what
it sounds
like. No one was wearing deodorant. That's what I meant. It was just, no one was wearing deodorant.
The human movement.
It was a heck of a time to get shoes on a person.
Yeah. What do I got to do to join this human movement? I already did, huh? Isn't that wild? This whole time I've been a part of it.
So don't shave anything.
So just stop taking care of myself, huh? Oh, wow.
So Ingo, he was doing some really interesting experiments where he was remote viewing weather, where he would do these experiments where he would remote view, like, the weather in Cincinnati and say, like, today...
It's gonna rain in Cincinnati! And then, he just became like what my dad does every day sitting on the fucking porch, and he's just like, hey, it's California, but it's hot, huh? Yep. Am I right? Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is, Dad.
And he would, remote view the weather, and then they'd call up Cincinnati and be like, hey, what's the weather like? And then they're like, hey, it's cloudy. And
it
like,
sucks.
Knew it. Nailed it.
And I forget exactly how he became involved in it as well, but he became the lead remote viewer for the best CIA program that has ever existed. Project Stargate.
Yeah, Project Stargate is pretty great.
Real.
It's pretty amazing. It's real. And so this is what I like about this program is that what it was it's the CIA getting groovy.
Yeah, this is what we could call the CIA's groovy period. Because, I mean, the Project Stargate, it was also known as Project Sunstreak, Project Center Lane.
That's beautiful.
I feel like a couple of agents got into the MKUltra drugs. Totally side projected it.
Hey, man, you know what we could do, man? It's like, you know what I want to see?
Yeah.
I want to see George Bush's fucking underwear.
Yep.
Yeah, dude. Let's do
it. Pretty good.
I know this dude named Ingo.
Ingo? No shit. That's a name?
It is now,
man. Yeah, man.
That's I just said his up. Name out loud, and we created him.
Yes. But what Ingo did was Ingo created the organized methodology for remote viewing.
Yeah, in 1972, the CIA launched a classified project, because of course it's classified. They don't want anyone to know about this.
Yeah, yeah. After, but, I mean, usually they don't want things to the American people to know about things because we're killing innocent people in Cambodia or something. But in this situation, they're just like, they're all going to laugh at you.
Yeah.
if the American people find out about this, they're all going to make fun of you.
No, yeah, finally doing to themselves what they do to people who believe in aliens.
Yeah.
They make themselves look very silly because the thing is because they got word that the Russians were doing it.
This is the dumb Cold War. Yeah.
They got word that the Russians and the Chinese were using these sorts of methods. And in fact, Congressman Charlie Rose said,
I bet they were just leaking those things just to see if the U.S. would do it.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. No. They say that it was probably a disinformation thing.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Congressman Charlie Rose said, some of the intelligence people I've talked to know that remote viewing works, although they still block further research on it since they claim it is not yet as good as satellite photography. But it seems to me...
not yet.
Yeah. But it seems to me that it would be a hell of a cheap radar system. And if the Russians have it and we don't, we're in serious trouble. So in other words, it's the psychic gap.
And the Russians, I would give the edge to the Russians. They got that sort of sloped back of the head. They kind of have satellite-looking heads.
Do they?
Yeah.
I think Russians are beautiful, except for the men who look like walking bears.
That's who I'm talking about. Not the gorgeous women, but they're beaten down so quick in life that they're not... It doesn't even matter.
I find this to be very interesting because I do think that it is true. They talk about when they say the remote viewing does work, but it's like what it is, the way that they say remote viewing works is if you create up to 10% more likelihood that they'd know this information or not.
Yeah.
So it's not much.
It's 5 to 10%, but they say that is statistically good.
Yes, because that puts it to like 51%.
Yeah.
That like puts it over the lip of not knowing anything that you're fucking talking about. Yeah. You could say you sort of know something.
Well, let's go through some of the players in Project Stargate.
Yes.
First, we've got Major General Albert Stubblebine.
I mean, this is not even real anymore.
No, what's his name? It's like David Copperfield.
Yeah, Stubblebine.
He was a key sponsor at the research internally at Fort Meade. He required that all of his battalion commanders learn how to bend spoons.
Yeah.
And he himself attempted several psychic feats, even attempting to walk through walls.
Can you imagine working for this man who is constantly pissed off?
Yeah.
You know he's just walking around like it sounds like he's like Colonel Clink.
Yeah.
Like it sounds like he's from a television show. Him just like walking around being like, I can do it, I will do it, and like him just like walking through walls, gonna be like, Henderson, get in here. These walls are too thick.
Thin up the walls,
Henderson.
I mean, that would just be tough. You must be very angry in the lunchroom. You know,
all those straight spoons, straight forks. Him trying to bring the food to his face and just being like, aren't you hungry, Mr. Stubble, General Stubblebine? He's like, don't remind me, damn it. Bring it to me, come 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 to me.
So after some controversy involving these experiments, and also...
It's hard to have the numbers meeting.
It's tough.
And alleged security violations from uncleared civilian psychics working in the sensitive compartmented information facilities, Stubblebine was placed on retirement.
That is the most gentle way of saying he died of an accidental car accident, like in the middle of an empty road out in the middle of Nebraska.
I don't know if he had any information to be done away with.
Yeah. You
know, I think they let him live. I think Stumblebine made it.
Yeah.
Very angry, though.
He's the first person to not stumble his way to the top.
And the next guy up is Pat Price.
Well, there we go. Hey, nice, normal Pat Price.
That's a good
quarterback.
It's a game show host name.
Yeah, that's right.
He worked with maps and photographs provided to him by the CIA, and he claimed to be able to retrieve information from facilities behind Soviet lines. He has the most famous example of remote viewing in that he was able to remote view and sketch a crane at a Soviet military site.
He called it the big crane, but what it turned out to be was a gigantic experimental submarine.
Ah.
That he, what he visioned was, he envisioned was this construction unit that was basically building the submarine. It's interesting.
It is. Again, that's that story is interesting.
But this is where, like, there was someone brought it up on the Facebook page about this idea of, like, me not, like, saying, like, being anti spiritual or theological. But I honestly think that this is where I see spiritualism.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, your will can reach out and manifest itself and can manipulate your environment.
I put you at a Crowleyan more than anything.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm about to put him into early retirement. Henry is 4 seconds away from trying to get that coffee to his mouth without touching it.
I really do believe it, though.
I know. I know.
And Price, he believed that aliens had established 4 underground bases on Earth.
Yep.
And he often reported on these locations to Dr. Puthoff. And he was also Ego.
These aliens won't respect me, and they say it's because of my name.
And he was also Ingo Swann's biggest competitor.
Yeah, and that's again where the bullshit comes in.
Right.
Where they literally started competing with each other as to who was the most psychic.
Yeah.
And it's a very tough thing to prove.
Yeah, because technically no one's got any proof.
Yeah. So the U.S. intelligence, like during the Cold War, they had like the most up-to-date like sonar and most up-to-date like photographs coming from satellites, and then just bar napkins? Is that what happens? Like, don't put your coffee on that. That's evidence. That's a huge amount of information there.
Next guy is Joseph McMonagall.
It's Joseph McMonagall. It just has the worst Irish name of all time.
I mean, do they have bones?
Yeah.
Do these people have bones?
The problem is, though, any name that will lead you to get the nickname Joe McMo is like the worst. You can't.
What's your actual name?
Yeah.
Nah, it's not to be honest.
Call me Joe McMo.
So he was also a very early psychic viewer. He said he first used his psychic abilities in his teens for his own protection while hitchhiking. And he enlisted to get away from his alcoholic family. And he became an experimental remote viewer in Army intelligence. In 1984, he was awarded a Legion of Merit for determining 150 essential elements of information and producing crucial and vital intelligence unavailable from any other source.
Because that's what the one thing they say is it's really about, it's quantity over quality. It's the idea is if you can get any details at all remotely viewing, then that's in the win column.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's what Sylvia Brown does. And
Sylvia Brown, though, to me, there's also with psychic readers, with that kind of, with reading someone's past or reading someone's future, I think there's a lot more to the Anton LaVey school of carnival tricks and how that it's actually not. That doesn't make it shallow. That it actually, the reading of someone is an important skill in determining their future. Because you can tell a lot about how somebody holds themselves. Like, if you know them really well, and then it's also what we hear about, which we're going to hear about in another version of remote viewing, is that sometimes you can tell someone a really good future, and that will help them build towards a better future.
Or make them extremely lazy because they think it's in the bag.
Well, either way, they're fucked.
Yeah.
And then finally, there was Ed Dames. He was one of the first 5 Army students trained by Ingo Swann.
Oh, he's originally changed it from the name Ed Ladies, which they felt was a little too feminine.
Yeah. And he was a monitor, he became a monitor, and he was the guy that controlled the other remote viewing students, told them where to go, what to do.
Yep, you got it. Oh, you need a massage? You want some water? I just put it in my mouth. I spit it in your mouth.
And he was known as the most extreme of all remote viewings because his target sessions were Atlantis and Mars.
Cool.
Also UFOs and aliens. And
Ingo Swann said during those experiments they did see water on Mars.
Oh.
Or the symbology of water on Mars. Yeah. And then he said that was backed up by the recent research.
Yeah, we found it.
Yep. Very true. And not coincidentally, Mr. Ed Dames has been a guest on Coast to Coast more than 30 times.
Oh, they're all pretty available to Coast to Coast.
I think so.
Coast to Coast just needs to pick up the phone and get them.
They're looking to talk, that's for sure. So there was just this whole wing at this military base just full of people doing remote viewing and
it's
things
incredible.
Like that.
Yeah, there was, at the most, there were, I think, 22 remote viewers working for the Army at this one
base. It's wonderful.
So everyone else, like, doing, like, boot camp and, like,
oh, they're stupid.
Well, yeah, they're stupid. They're stupid.
You got to get to the good side of the Army. That's what I'm always talking about. It's like, maybe I'll volunteer for the Army, but I only wanted to be in, like, Good Morning Vietnam Army.
Of course, yeah. Vietnam was so
Navy
fun.
Army, yeah.
I was watching this a Ken Burns documentary, some documentary about Vietnam, and I was like, this is not right. I saw it.
Oh,
yeah. You know? It's fucking good times, laughs.
No.
Or was that World War II?
They're all bad, unless you're my dad.
What's the one you referenced?
McHale's Navy.
Is that World War II?
No, that was during their early 90s.
No, not McHale's Navy. Which one am I thinking of? What's the Vietnam one?
Good Morning Vietnam.
Yeah, all right, forget it.
Jesus
Christ. No, there's a show, the Vietnam show.
There's no, MASH. You're thinking of MASH, and that was the Korean War.
Yeah, whatever, that's what my grandfather fought in. My grandfather fought in the Korean War.
So. The good one, not your evil one.
No, the other one fought in a different war. Scratch it. Delete it all. Jesus Christ. I'm just trying to find the goddamn name of the show.
So this program was declassified in 1995. So therefore, we have the training manual that was written by Mr. Ingo Swan.
Now, it's really cool. So what you're going to find out here is that, like, what Ingo Swan is before this, like, truly, it was just people who would get drunk at a party and then they'd do the old Johnny Carson game of putting the thing in an envelope and then you try to guess what's the envelope. It was a way to impress women. But what he did was create an organized system of methods for the CIA.
Yeah, and it's very boring.
Yes.
It's good. Very long.
It is very thick.
It was long.
Yeah, I try to read as much of it as I can. But what we learn here is that there's a system.
Yeah, there's a system. There were six stages that they used when they were remote viewing.
They had to sit in a bareback chair with a plain desk with a pad of paper in front of them and a pencil. In front of them was the monitor, and that was it. They had a light with a dimmer, and that's the only thing they could do, because the idea is that as they go deeper into trance, they dimmer the thing. And also remember, these people are not in trance.
No.
This is not trance. This is literally just sitting and just going like, grape juice, grapes, grapes. Is it grapes? Yep. Is it grapes? Grapes. Is it grapes? Is it in your grapes? Purple, yeah. purple. Is it red? Is it red? Purple, red. Is it Clifford the Big Red Dog?
That's right.
So stage one sites were, is it an island? Are they in the mountains? Is it a desert?
And the way they do this
very broad.
What they do is they give them a set of coordinates, and then they say, you draw your first impressions, or what they call the ideologies. And what you do is you basically draw squiggles on a piece of paper, and then they tell you whether or not that's oceans or mountains.
Yeah. Stage two, that would be sites of quality sensory value. So
tactiles.
You have tactiles, touch, taste, sound, color, odor. Things like that. Stage three, that significant dimensional characteristics, buildings, bridges, airfields. Ben, don't rub your face like that.
Why? I have sleep in my eye. I didn't have any coffee this morning.
Stage four is a qualitative mental percept, such as the technical area, military feeling.
She's
research.
Hungry. Wait a second, I'm just hungry.
Stage five is when the trainee learns to, quote-unquote, interrogate qualitative mental percepts in an attempt to produce analytical target descriptions, such as aircraft tracking radar, biomedical research facilities, a tank production plant. Ooh. Getting real specific with it.
Yeah.
And then stage six involves the trainee in direct three-dimensional assessment and modeling of the site and or the relationship of site elements to one another, i.e. airplanes inside one of three camouflage hangars or a military compound.
There are 20 pages
building.
Of this. Yeah.
No,
20 pages 20? Of just this. No, because I started getting into it myself, and I was just like, oh, I can't boil this down.
No, the manual is 99 pages long.
You got to read it.
Yeah.
It's really interesting because it's government writing. Because also, especially when they write the whole thing at the top of being like, there is a matrix of unconscious information. It's incredible.
This is a CIA manual.
Yeah.
This is an actual, but it's kind of like in Beetlejuice, read the fucking handbook for the recently deceased. Like, it's the secrets of the universe, but it's mind-numbingly boring.
The government's main job is to take all wildly interesting things and make them real fucking boring.
Yeah. I think that's about right.
So let's kind of go through a bit of the manual also has a kind of the process that they go through. So let's go through a bit of that. So stage one, it says, okay, rising, angles across, down solid.
Sure.
Stage two.
So this is an example of what someone would see.
Yeah, this is just an example of the things that they would see. Stage two, Rough, smooth, gritty texture, gray, white, red, blue, yellow, orange, clean taste, mixture of smells, warm, bright, noisy.
Ben's knees.
That could be, yeah. So far, so good.
Tall, rounded, wide, long, open.
Oh, no.
And this is when they take a break, because they have to take a break because there is a very high instance of burnout in these guys.
Yes, they say, was it the training burnout?
Yeah.
And then they also say you cannot be hungry.
Ah.
That hunger is the worst enemy to remote viewing.
Ah.
Did not know that.
So we're good.
Yeah, we're fine.
All right. And so the stage three is when they start doing the sketches.
Mm-hmm.
And they start trying to expand a little bit. Stage four, they start bringing it down. Rough, smooth, man-made, high, tall, wide. Then there's a bit of a break. And in this one, the trainee said...
Sandwiches, coffee. Mm-hmm.
And the trainee said, this is neat. Continuing.
Oh.
Doors, windows, colorful, parapets, building. Sketching some more.
Mm-hmm.
Foreign feeling. People. Somber, serious, devoted, enthusiastic.
Hmm.
Break. Okay, that's a castle in a city.
Is that a castle in a city?
That's a castle in a city.
That's a castle in a city. That isn't through the that sketch, something? That's they said that's a castle in a city.
Oh, I'm a little hungry.
City.
Better eat a Snickers.
Yeah.
Stage five. Religious objects. Emanations. Robes, candles, incense. Religious attributes, emanations.
I'm getting molested.
Uh-oh.
Quiet, dimly lit, echoing, large. Religious subjects, emanations.
Very interesting.
Worship, reverence.
Is it like this? I wish you could see Marcus's hand motions.
Yeah. I just want to hear this guy talking to a war vet at a VFW. Just be like, how was your time in the military? I lost two legs and I only have
my
one.
My buddy
hand.
Manhattan got his feet blown off by a turret weapon.
How about you?
I ate sandwiches and I saw things in my brain.
All right.
Worship, reverence, respect, harmonious chanting, religious topics, emanations, mass, Catholic, priest, communion, large assembly, religious decorations, singing, reverence, scriptures, clergy.
I mean, what place doesn't have a Catholic church?
I mean, he's just saying that they chose a specific site.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're narrowing it down.
They're narrowing it down.
Yeah, they're narrowing it down.
If you're going to say, like, I'm going to say, yeah, there's a Catholic church
in
Russia.
We don't know it's a church yet, Ben.
Oh, I see.
And so now this is when the matrix has started to get filled in by the monitor while the viewer is still constructing the model. So the matrix is being filled out as to what this could possibly be, where it could possibly be. They're starting to narrow it down. So, stage six, church, hand-hewn stones, gray, rough, very large, very old, war-damaged, monument, dreary climate, international feeling.
You can say anything. You can say anything you like. Bugaboo. I see bugaboo.
Yeah,
the color orange.
Okay.
I think
fine.
I see leather. The smell of leather.
Leather.
I got shoes on.
Yes, you do. Yes.
Rubble. Separate structure. Tall, straight, rectangular, high, wide.
This is slam poetry.
Yeah, this is. It's good though.
Modern. Same purpose as other structure. Church. New church and old church are the same. Cosmopolitan atmosphere, war atrocities. And then the remote viewing comes to an end.
That's it. That's all the information.
What the viewer has summarized is that the site is composed of two churches. One church, which is old and made of hand-hewed stones, has been damaged by war. There's a lot of rubble around it. The new church is very modern in design. Both are located in an area with a cosmopolitan atmosphere and an international flavor. The older church has been left as a monument to remind the people of today of the war atrocities of the past, while the new church now serves the same purpose as the older church did at one time, a house of worship. What is the site?
Berlin.
England. London.
Ben actually got it.
Whoa, yeah. You're the psychic.
Oh, yeah.
You're psychic.
I knew.
Well, I mean, it's also, you remember your grandfather's memories of when he was there.
It's the Kaiser Wilhelm Church side by side with the older Kaiser Wilhelm Church in Berlin, Germany.
Yep.
That's incredible.
I nailed it.
Wow, that's very impressive.
That's
no problem,
very good,
Marcus.
Ben.
So after this, the Stargate Project, of course, we said that the chances of them getting something to write were between 5 and 15%, which
is yeah.
pretty good.
For like, nothing. You know, yeah. like, from nothing. It's from, pretty good.
From literally nothing. Unfortunately, most of the information was very unclear.
Yeah, it's just what type of tacos the Russians were eating and like,
Yeah. And so in 1995, the CIA hired the American Institute for Research to perform a retrospective evaluation of the results of the Stargate Project. This study was done by Ray Hyman and Jessica Utz.
poor Jessica Utz, because you know that it was butts before they got to Ellis Island.
Or nuts.
Oh, Mr. Hyman.
Mr. Hyman, that's just, you can't
Hyman
even
and Utz. Boys, look awake. Hyman and Utz are coming through. Boys, look awake.
I can't be asleep when they're here.
Well, Utz, she was on the side of the psychic viewers. She said that the 5 to 15% or boosting the chance of some sort of positive effect of an operation that was 5 to 15%. She said it was statistically significant. But Hyman argued that Utz's conclusion that ESP had been proven to exist is premature, to say the least.
It's definitely premature to be able to be to say that absolutely.
This whole system is broken.
Mr. Hyman's all blocked up.
But you know, I will never believe a single one of these psychics. I don't believe a single one of what they say.
I didn't understand a goddamn word Mr. Hyman said.
He said that the findings had yet to be replicated independently and that more investigation would be necessary to, quote, legitimately claim the existence of paranormal functioning.
Yes, typical. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Ingo Swann, you know?
But Ingo Swann even said that. He was saying that when they were working, he's like, we never knew whether they were going to keep us open or not, but every week we'd get a check. That's how we knew we must have been doing something right.
1995 this was going on until, huh?
Yeah, until 1995. And so based on both of their studies, the CIA terminated the $20 million project in 1995.
Quite a bit of cash. But I just feel like they could have underbid it a little bit in order to have kept the program going.
Yeah, right. There were, in 1995, there were still three full-time psychics that were working on a $500,000 a year budget.
Can you imagine that being your job?
That'd be so great.
You're a full-time psychic?
Perfect.
Yeah. Oh, and one of those was just using tarot cards all the time.
That's great.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
But I really believe in tarot cards as well.
Yeah. And, you know, and some people still use remote viewing to this day. It said that there was one of the guys that he wrote a book on the Green River Killer, I think. He's really into remote viewing. He said that he found or he saw the location of one of Ted Bundy's victims. And he called the police and told them, hey, check out there. Like, there's, and they never checked. A year later, they found the girl at the exact same site. And he said that the sheriff called him up and said, you know what? You were right.
If you could figure
exactly
out
where you said
I truly
was.
Believe you could figure out how to break down the wall between our brains, otherwise known as an antenna, and the matrix, if you want to put it, as the grid of information. There's a lot you can do.
I mean, I think you just play the odds, though.
Partially,
you just know where Ted Bundy tended to kill and strangle women, and you're like, there's a place that would be perfect for him.
But extrapolation of that, that's simple psychic ability.
Yeah, I mean,
but there's also, so that's just the control. There's many other different types of remote viewing as well. There's freeform, which is, again, we were saying, just
that's for the wild kids.
That's for the wild kids. Yeah. Then there's this guy, Dr. Simeon Hein.
That's a good one. Simeon's a cool name.
Simeon's a cool name.
I would follow a Simeon.
He's been working on this thing called human fusion. He was a student of Ingo Swann. He's a new dude. But basically, what his idea is that, like, he is a proponent. Listen to him on Coast to Coast. And he's a proponent of the idea of remote viewing for self-help purposes, which, of course, people are into, you know, like they want that. But it's the idea is that you use remote viewing on your own life. And the way he put it, he brought up the idea of you know, that we're in a, the time is not linear, that we're all time is happening now. You can plug into anything, and that remote viewing is much easier if you're using yourself and basically using your imagination. That's where he was against Ingo Swann's idea, because Ingo Swann was like, take all imagination out of it. It's just first response, first thing that comes to your brain. But he was saying imaginations, and he truly believes this, that every single thing that you imagine is just an alternative reality. It's just that you have now sparked a new sliding doors. You got Gwyneth Paltrow on a date with you.
Ooh,
new reality. And so, but he basically, he says that because oftentimes in Olympic training, they use these visualization techniques. And this is what he says. It's the same thing what they do with controlled remote viewing, but it's much more relaxed, which is the idea is that you imagine a feeling. And like, and the way he did it for self-help purposes is that, like, if you want to be good at something, let's say you just started playing the piano and you're like, man, I just want a Groundhog Day myself and to be great at the piano. You know, just go like, blink, blink, and be done. He's like, well, what you do is you start visualizing the feeling of being really great at the piano, because these emotions are what kind of poke through time.
And then you go and you put on a performance at the Apollo and you get booed off stage because you actually suck at the piano.
But you suck at the piano.
Yeah, but you're like, I just felt
but
like I was ready.
You felt like you rocked. Yeah. And sometimes that's all that matters.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but that's what you say. So human fusion, it's the idea that basically you,
no, that is interesting.
You go to meet future you, and you use visualization techniques, and it's about gestalt, which is like
what Matthew McConaughey was talking about in his Oscar speech when he said his hero was me 10 years.
But honestly, yes,
yeah, but I mean,
that is remote viewing.
Yeah,
and I really do. I believe in visualization. I believe in the power of will itself. Yes. You know, and you could take from the universe what you need from the universe.
Oh, totally. Yeah,
you know, as long as you're ruthless.
Well, you don't have to be ruthless. You could be kind and loving, too.
Well, you can be kind and loving and use remote viewing in a way that, you know, it may seem sinister at first.
But in the end, it's good for everybody.
It's good for everybody because you, sir, I'm talking to you.
Me?
No. You.
Me?
No. The Who? Listener.
Oh.
Yes, you.
You. I'm talking Not to you. You to tell you that you can use remote viewing to get girls.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
All right,
what if
guys,
they're a girl?
Get your pencils out. No, you cannot use this for men.
You can't get a guy using this?
What I will say to girls, if you want to get a man, just tell him you want it. And he's going to say, he's either going to say yes, or he's going to be like, oh, my knees hurt because I've been beaten in the street. I can't be with you tonight.
I mean, all our female viewers are beautiful young ladies.
Absolutely.
So they're fine.
Yeah, you don't need remote viewing.
No, absolutely not. So this is from a wonderful article that I found on the internet.
Oh.
On the internet. So it's real.
It's absolutely real. Here's what it says. You might think of this as remote viewing seduction, simply because this technique is more geared towards impacting the consciousness of other people. Realize that the only thing standing between you and a happy relationship with the girl of your dreams is the way in which that girl perceives you.
But that is
true though. Yes.
If you can change her perception of you, you can change your relationship.
A big thing that helps with that is wads of cash.
Laundry. Do laundry.
Do your
washing
laundry.
Yourself.
Yes.
Lots of things.
I keep hearing the term, people say it's very important to have good shoes.
Nice
shoes.
Yeah,
I keep hearing that too.
It is.
Remote viewing.
Yeah. Now, it's good to have a specific girl picked out because you will need to have an image to lock onto.
Yeah, it can't just be any fucking hag.
Yeah,
you're just dragging from the bar like some kind of caveman.
Right. That's illegal. I would never do that.
Now, the next step is a bit hard to articulate, but basically you need to lock onto the way that you want to feel when you're around her. The
Gestalt.
Way you want her to perceive you.
Yep.
And you need to project this feeling at her.
And that also does not involve piercing stares.
No.
Right.
Oh, neither.
Right.
Okay.
No. Imagine that you've known each other for a long time and you're just leaving an upscale restaurant together.
That is the funnest way to be in a relationship.
Or take her to an upscale restaurant.
No. You imagine it first.
Imagine it.
You need to get the funds for that first.
Oh, I see.
It's late, so not many other people are out, and there's a slow song playing outside as you walk down the sidewalk.
I'm falling
caught in the
you.
Moment, she grabs you and pulls you into the shadow of the nearest building, where you passionately start making out.
Now, I will warn again. Oh, I will say this could lead you to a crippling depression.
Oh, violent depression or masturbation.
Yes, bask in this feeling while you're there with your headphones on, listening to the song, and hold on to it for as long as you can. The power of theta, that's the dream power, by the way, the brainwaves power. The power of theta is that you can directly affect the minds of the other people around you at a fundamental level. So when you feel this about her, she will simultaneously feel it about you, guaranteed.
She might walk by you, though.
She may not pay a word one of attention to you.
No idea, because you didn't articulate any of your feelings to her.
But guess what? Because you imagined it, it happened already.
In an alternate
in your
universe.
Brain. Yeah.
So yeah. Not in your brain, in an alternate universe.
The one that you live in.
Never for you.
You cannot enjoy it whatsoever. Yeah, right. No. Oh, by the way, this is especially powerful when she's asleep. So the next time you meet.
Nothing creepy about any of this.
So the next time you meet, especially if you do the same technique time after time, again and again and again and again, you will notice that her attitude towards you has changed. Pretty soon, it's likely that you both will act out the exact same scenario you envision in your mind.
That's true if you envision her running away from you. Just terrified.
Well, the big thing is at some point, you got to ask her to the dinner.
You have to open your mouth and ask her. Don't be like, I've been thinking
about what it would be like if we went to dinner together.
I was listening to headphones. You pulled me in a dark building and you made out with me.
Just so you know, this is literally the blueprint for getting any girl you would ever want. And wield your powers wisely.
Honestly, though, but if you you want to learn something about enchanting people and stuff, read the book The Satanic Witch by Anton LaVey. Mm-hmm. It is a way, it takes kind of the floofy do out of it. It uses what he even calls carnival tricks into basically how to entrance someone, but it's mostly how to get what you want out of somebody, but it can lead to fruitful relationships.
You could also read the book How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yes.
You know? But that's a dumb one.
No, the Anton LaVey one's a lot more sexy.
It is.
Yeah.
I would say the one thing about that book he never talks about, become a cult leader.
Become a cult leader.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
Then you get whoever you want.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. I would love to be a cult leader.
Well.
There's a lot of paperwork, though. I don't know if you're going to be able to deal with all the logistical sides of being a cult leader.
The legal work, huh?
Renting the space.
Doing
all that stuff. I don't know yet.
I'm not a promoter.
Yeah, you'd have to get a co-signer. I don't think your credit's not good enough to rent a warehouse.
657 credit score. Thank you. Very good. Very successful.
And you used remote viewing to get that, didn't you?
I did. And I also
paid your bills. That's important. I keep trying to use my brain to fix my credit score.
How's it going?
I have a four.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right. That's remote viewing. Very educational stuff.
I mean, we'll get into astral projecting another time.
We'll get to that another time because there's so much more on that. Because we can't just skim over the skin hags.
I don't even start.
All right. That's Marcus and Henry, and I am Ben, and that's Henry Loves You, and that's Marcus Parks on Twitter, and I'm Ben Kissel on Twitter. And what's that, Marcus?
Oh, and don't forget, the live show is this Saturday night, April 26th at 10 p.m. at the Creek in the Cave.
Get your ass there.
Want
to hug us if you want to dance with us, if you want to smell with us.
It's going to be an amazing time. And Henry, this will be your first live show back in 2 months.
I'm back.
So it's going to be all three of us on stage.
I'm back and I'm taking back control.
Well, what? I don't know. I have no idea, but that's fine. So we'll see you guys on Saturday. It'll be a great time. Hail Satan.
Al Gein.
Help me!
Hail yourselves, everybody.
Immacolations.